Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our show today, Riding by Faith, here on KKVV, 1060 AM. Anyway, I'd like to invite you out to Wagon Wheel Missionary Baptist Church. It's out Lake Mead toward Lake Las Vegas, and you turn right on Pueblo, right off Lake Mead, and then make a left on Cadiz, and you'll find us there. Or you can come down Racetrack Road till you get to Cadiz and make a left, and you'll find the church there. So we'd love to have you out, and our services are 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 o'clock, and then for our worship service, and then 6 that evening, and then again Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. So we'd love to have you come out. Turn with me in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. The Lord laid it on my heart to do this, and I may have preached some on this already here on the radio, but we're going to kind of start in Joshua chapter 1, and if the Lord permits, we'll just kind of continue through the book of Joshua for a certain amount of time. We'll see how things go, and I'll just leave it up to God. So Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." The book of Joshua, I really like it. It's a positive book. It's a book, it tells about God's children, God's people, the Israelites taking the promised land somewhere around the area about 1450 BC. But really, we need to kind of back up and look at about 40 years earlier. About 40 years earlier, they had came to Kadesh Barnea, and they were, the Lord had told them, "Here's your land, I've promised you this land," and they sent, we all know the story, I would say, but they sent spies into that land, and they came back. 10 of them had, well, actually all 12 of them had good reports, but 10 of them lacked the faith, such as Joshua and Caleb, to go over in it and take it, because they felt it was an impossible task. And so, really and truly, all they had to do was follow and trust God's guidance. Canaan was theirs, and when you think about it, God had told them, he said, "This is yours." He said, "All you've got to do is go in and possess that land." Now, I want you to understand that the promised land was not heaven. It's not talking about heaven. That promised land was for them right then. It was their rest here on earth. And just as we who are saved can have a victorious life here on this earth, that promised land was going to be, in a comparison, that victorious life that we talk about. Let's go over to the book of John real quick. The book of John chapter 10 and verse 10. The book of John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus tells his apostles, he says, well, he tells everybody that's listening to him, but he tells his apostles here, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life." In other words, Jesus came so that we can have life. We can have eternal life through him. But also, look at the rest of the verse. And it says, "And that they might have it more abundantly." The good shepherd, he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Jesus laid down his life for us. And if we trust in him, if we ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us, he says he will do that. He will in no wise turn anyone away. And but he tells us we have eternal life at that time. But we can also have a more abundant life. That's what this deal was for the Israelites. You see, the Israelites had a choice when they got there. They had been promised this land from God, and they had a choice that they could go into this land that was flowing with milk and honey, and they were able to have a rest at that time in their lives. We can have that same thing. All we got to do is claim what Jesus has offered us. The Israelites knew that when they come to the Kadesh Barnea, the River Jordan, that they were going to cross over, and there was a lot of fortresses there, kingdoms that they had to go in, and they were going to take that land that God had promised them. And so when they got there, they murmured and they decided, hey, we're not going to do this. And for that reason, they missed out on a big blessing. They missed out on what God had in store for them. And for 40 years, they just wandered around in the wilderness without crossing over and having that promised land. And also, not to mention that God said because of their unbelief that anybody that was 20 years old or older was not going to go into the promised land. Only Caleb and Joshua would be going over in there. And so, you know, when we look at this and compare it to our lives, when we don't claim God's promises, we waste God's time, and not to mention our time, and we don't accomplish anything because we're not taking what God has offered us. We go over to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to go over there and read starting in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 3. The writer says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is really is a evil heart that we should be careful with, because unbelief in God in little things or in whatever it may lead us into more and more problems. You see, unbelief will lead us into starting to doubt God's word. Unbelief will bring on discouragement in a person's life. Then it'll bring on a hard heart in people's lives. And we don't want to get into this because that just makes everybody around you, you're miserable, therefore they're going to be miserable. You're not going to give them a very good testimony of how God is working in your life. We need to trust and obey the Lord Jesus. We just need to have that belief in Him that He's going to take care of us. When we claim God's blessings, good things happen to us. And we'll get into that in a minute, a few of those things. But now look at verse 13. He says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You see, this unbelieving heart brings in that hardness because of the deceitfulness of the sin that is there. "For we are made," verse 14, "partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end, while it is said today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into the rest, but to them that believed not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That unbelief in God is sinful, and it leads into a hard heart. It leads into doubting God's word. By the way, if you're doubting God's word, if you're doubting things with God in your life, how are you going to be able to give godly counsel, which is what we should be willing to do and should be doing, giving godly counsel to other Christians How can you do that? You can't do that if you don't have the believing heart that you should have. And then the what comes worse, you get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, things go downhill from there, and it can go downhill pretty quick. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Listen, do you want to miss out on God's blessings in your life? I mean, really and truly think about that. Do you seriously want to miss out on what God has for you in your life? I personally do not want to miss out on anything that God has for me. I don't want to think that, hey, one of these days I may see what God had for me if I had have had the belief and followed him in all the directions that he was guiding me in, instead of going against his will and just kind of doing my own thing because I trusted more of what I was believing, what I was setting up. I don't want to miss out on any of that. So when we claim God's blessings and his promises, good things happen to us. I mean, think of the first one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a blessing from God, and that's a promise from God. And when we do accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we come to him and confess him as Lord and Savior and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And what a blessing that is. From that point on, we have eternal life. It is a guaranteed thing. It's there. We can't lose that. You can't give it away. You can't sell it. We have salvation. That is a blessing from the Lord that if we will act upon, if we will trust and believe in him, that we'll have salvation. And no doubt that salvation is the greatest blessing from God of all. There's nothing that can top that, to know that we've got eternal life by trusting and obeying what God tells us to do. Churches, for instance, they can have growth. Can a church really and truly grow today? Yes, it can. Listen, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that the Lord established. And as we go through our life, and we go through our church work, and we get saved, and we get baptized into a church, and we're working in that church and doing what the Lord says. Listen, the church can grow, and it grows out of the obedience to God. And to be obedient to God, you're believing in him. And so we're setting aside those differences. Sometimes things just look impossible. And you think, well, this is crazy. But, you know, think about the children of Israel. When they got to the Red Sea, it did not look possible for them to go across. Everything was pretty bleak for them to be crossing that Red Sea. But they had the faith, and Moses told them, step out. Here we go. And they took that step. See, the Lord wants us to take that step. And when we do, he parts the Red Sea. Now, I've seen the Red Sea parted in my life. Sometimes some people say, well, I've only seen the creek parted, but that's okay. That's still a miracle in itself. And so when we step out in faith and have that belief, trust me, the Lord will open the doors of what he would have you to do. You won't have to kick the door down. You won't have to crawl over boulders or jump through hoops. He'll open up that door if that's what you're supposed to do, and he'll give that to you. So, yes, you can have church growth if we just live with obedience. But churches can't have church growth. They're not going to have a real church of the Lord Jesus is not going to have church growth if they're not obedient to God. It's not going to happen. Contentment. Peace of mind, that's a promise that we have right now. That's a promise that is offered to us immediately. It's not something that we've got to wait for. He says that we can have that right now. In Philippians chapter 4, if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 6 and 7. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall," not maybe, not possibility, but shall. In other words, it will happen. It says, "shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When we're obedient to the Lord, He gives us peace in all things. Now, I'm not telling you that you may not be upset over what's going on in your life, that maybe there's some things going on with one of your loved ones and you're not liking that. But listen, you seek peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a promise of God that He will give us peace. That, guess what? He's in control. I'm not just thrilled to death about the direction our country's going, but I will tell you that I don't worry over it. I'm concerned about it, but I don't worry over it because I know that God is in control. God is still on the throne, and we don't have to worry about who's in Washington, D.C. God is on the throne taking care of things, and we don't have to worry about that. Now, we can be concerned, and we ought to go out, and we should be voting on a godly mind, okay, and heart. But we don't have to worry about what's going on. God's in control. He does tell us to be concerned about things. But He will give us that peace that we need, that peace that passes all understanding, to know that He's in control. You know, it's a peace to me to know that God is in control of my everyday life. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Doesn't matter what the doctor has told me. He's in control. And I should have peace with that. I trusted Him enough with my soul. I asked the Lord to save me back in 1984. And, hey, He's took care of me ever since then. And I know that I'm going to heaven. Well, good grief. I ought to be able to trust the Lord with all these little bitty things that come after that. Because salvation is the greatest of all blessings. And to know that I have eternal life, I've got that peace. So it doesn't really matter what takes place here on this earth. I'll be concerned about it, but I'm not going to be worried about it because I know that God's got it. Listen, He's got me in the palm of His hand. John 10:28 and 29 tells me that I'm in God's hand, and I'm in Jesus' hand, and He's in God's hand, and no man can pluck me from the Father's hands. I don't have to worry about that. So I do have that peace that God is in control there. That is a promise. Victory. Victory is now. It's not later. It's possible now. You see, the victory, the rest was there for the children of Israel. All they had to do was reach out and take it. All they had to do was cross the Jordan, go in there, and they could have had the rest that God had promised them. All we have to do is reach out to the Lord Jesus and claim the victory that is already ours. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. He tells us here, it said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place." Listen, "Now thanks be unto God, which always," always, "causes us to triumph in Christ." In other words, our victory is in Jesus Christ. And we can have that promise right now. We can have the comfort of that, knowing that if we put the Lord first, listen, we will have a victorious life if we're willing to reach out for it. 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 tells us, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world Now look at this, what it says. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You can overcome the world. You can have a victorious life if you're a child of God. All you've got to do is step out in faith. You know, how did you get saved? You got saved by faith. That's the same way we are to go out and walk our daily lives for God and to claim these promises and to claim this victorious life is through Jesus Christ. And it is the faith in Him which we step out every day of our life. And that's the way we should be living. We should be living with that faith. Have that believing heart that God will take care of you in every instance in life. Everything that comes about. You go to the doctor and you get a bad report. One that you really dreaded, that you did not want to hear. That's okay. You hand it to God. It's not that you're liking any what the doctor might have told you, but you have that peace because you're in God's hands. It's that daily prayer that you may have that you get real serious with. You have a loved one. It may be a child or whoever it may be. That, listen, life is rough for them, but you know what? You pray and you hand that over to the Lord Jesus. Verse 5 again, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I tell you what, I hope this has helped you today. You have a great day and God bless. I want to thank you for listening to that.